Welcome to News Roast, three courses of conversation. My name's Hayden Prowse.
I'm Julian Rubinstein.
And what do we do on this podcast, Julian?
Well, the idea is that every week we will have a fantastic guest on to discuss matters that issue to them, matters that issue to us, over three courses of conversation, like you're in the pub with your mates.
Matters that issue.
Matters that issue, yeah. I mean, it makes total sense. But what, I mean, if you're going to describe this podcast to someone who, you know, never heard of us before, no idea if they want to, you know, subscribe to our podcast or not, how would you describe it?
I would say tune in if you want to pick up some good things to talk about at a dinner party.
We're going to be giving sort of dinner party gold where you can look a little bit more intelligent.
This is your weekly resource for dinner party quips and anecdotes.
And also dates. Also, I mean, I think it'd be good for dates.
Brunch.
Yeah, brunch.
Any brunch dates. Any afternoon roast dates. Anything meal orientated where you want to talk about a story that perhaps someone hasn't heard of, have a nice flip on something that perhaps no one else at the dinner table's got. You know, real sort of middle class concerns like that. Tune in for that every week.
We're like weaponizing conversation.
Weaponizing,
we're,
yeah.
We're sort of giving people...
We're the chemical alleys of dinner party convo.
We are literally the Hans Blix nuclear bunker inspectors.
No, we're not that.
Well, why can't we be? Are we not
no,
expecting
no, no, that analogy doesn't work. Because we've got to be the chemical alleys who is inspected by the Hans Blix.
So we could be the Kim Jong-uns.
We're the Kim Jong-uns, for sure.
The Pakistani military have got some serious
I was going to say, how much of Kim Jong-un is hype and how much has he really got some badass chemical weapons? I don't know. Teo's the Hans Blix because he's the editor.
Yeah, we've also got our producer editor.
He's cutting out the most heinous of our weaponized conversation and only leaving in the good stuff.
So why are we doing a podcast? How do you describe because obviously people might have seen our show, The Revolution We Televised.
Well, you were like, how can I get more Twitter followers?
Well, that's literally it, isn't it?
And then I said, podcast?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah. And then we decided to do it.
And that was it. And we'd run the coattails of Ramesh as well. Yeah. As soon as he got me in on his one.
Like you were in a podcast with Ramesh.
Yeah. Decent podcast, that.
Yeah.
Could be better than this. We'll see.
I listen to it. Yeah. Which is commendable. But like, I have to quite have conversations with you pretty much every day, 5 or 6 days a week. And I actually tuned in and spent my extra time away from you to listen to you having another conversation with someone else. That's some love.
Is it? Right. Sounds a bit like jealous girlfriend.
Right there.
Jealous girlfriend material right there, I have to say.
This week we've got Josie Long.
Amazing.
She's a great comedian.
Like her.
And we're going to talk about stuff.
Let's try and go over the concept with people. So it's three courses of conversation. What does that mean?
Three courses of conversation essentially means we tried to come up with an analogy for a way to structure our podcast, and we thought doing it as a roast would work. So we've got a starter, we've got a main, and we've got a dessert. And this week for our starter, we're talking about post-truth politics. You whipped that up, didn't you?
I pumped some hot air into it and just put it in the oven, let it expand, and it exploded and took over the whole kitchen.
And Josie's bringing along a Trump. For a main course.
A nice bit of Donald Trump.
A nice medium rare Trump.
You could get Donald Trump steak knives.
Can you get rip off Donald Trump steak knives? Because I know he brands everything. But like, do the Chinese rip it off? Is that why he's so pissed off about China?
That would be why. China.
Because they're always doing the Trump steak knives.
We'll definitely come on to that. And then for our dessert, we've got something.
I thought you just said Farage dessert. What would that look like? That would be quite...
It'd probably have a fag in its mouth and a pint of beer with it, so I don't know if it would be very tasty for a dessert. Just but that's going to be more of an issue.
Leave a nasty aftertaste in your mouth.
Yeah.
What's our dessert?
So our dessert this week is going to be Justin Trudeau. And, you know, he's got to be the best looking leader of the free world ever, hasn't he?
I think that's the better Canadian. Mix-up between him and Obama.
I don't know. I think I'd have to say in the sort of like pin-up stakes. I think definitely in the intelligence stakes, Obama miles above.
But you think more attractive Trudeau?
I think Trudeau's hair is just a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Although, have you seen the president of Uzbekistan?
I've got to say I haven't.
Yeah, no, I can't remember what he looks like either. I just thought I'd say that.
What we also want to do is hear from you at home. If you've got any suggestions for guests that we should have on or courses that we could, add to our metaphorical dining experience, that would be great.
Let's introduce our guest. We have Josie Long.
Darling of the Edinburgh Festival, stand-up connoisseur. Hey, you said her show was one of the best shows you've ever seen?
Yeah, Josie's, I think, was the best show I saw at Edinburgh.
Oh.
No pressure,
Thank
Josie.
You.
Yeah.
That's
how,
nice.
How was it for you? How was Edinburgh for you?
It was interesting. I went up with the work in progress, and I was really like, I've won the system. There's no reviews. There's no stress. And then it was basically as frightening and as much hard work as if I hadn't have gone up with the work in progress. And I was like, oh, you can never win.
But when you do work, because it was like, as I said, this is the best thing I've seen you do, and I think the best thing I saw at Edinburgh. When you do work in progress, isn't it a bit like saying, that wasn't it yet. That wasn't it yet.
Yeah.
That wasn't quite it yet.
That's all I want to do.
It gets better than this, I promise. It gets better than this. It's
yeah, that. For the rest of my life, I would love to have that disclaimer.
At the beginning.
Like, please, come in 3 months, please. Yeah. I used to, when I was at university, I was so excited to meet everyone, but I felt so out of my depth that I always used to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in a really weird mood today. Yeah. Like, that would just cover everything.
Yeah.
So can I just ask a question? Because I've always wondered, so how many weeks were you up in Edinburgh for?
I was only up for 2 weeks this time,
it's
which again, I was
marathon,
like,
though, isn't it? I mean, how many shows are you doing in that 2 weeks?
Well, so usually do a month and usually do about 2 shows a day on average.
Wow.
But this time I did 2 weeks and I was like, oh, it's going to be so much easier. It's only 2 weeks. So then I ended up doing 4 shows a day for 2 weeks, which
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. And how do you like look after yourself? You got any tips for people going up there? Like, do you go out every night afterwards? Or?
No, of course I don't. I'm a terrible square. What I like to do is swim in the sea. Then any anxiety is taken away because you're in the freezing cold sea and you're constantly fearing that you might die, which takes away any other smaller anxieties. Also, like,
I think that's a really good tip, by the way.
You're a wild swimmer enthusiast, though, aren't you, Jess?
I think it's really important to put yourself in danger of death at least once a day.
What do you do?
I cycle without a helmet or lights.
No, I hate it.
It puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? If
you, does it? You know, what, like by not wearing a helmet on your bike?
No, coming close to death.
Come on.
It does. It really does. I don't know whether, like... See, the good thing about wild swimming is... Your body feels like you're going to die, but you're not going to die.
See, can I just say here, wild swimming, yes. Cycling through the metropolis on a bike on a freezing cold day with no lights, reflective material, you could make someone a killer just by... You're being selfish because you're actually going to make them the bad guy, when in fact you're the bad guy for not having a helmet.
The sea is not going to regret murdering me. The sea won't care. The sea will be like, bad luck, human, you're nothing to me.
Well, we don't know. The sea might have consciousness that we don't even know about yet, but...
Oh, I'd love that.
What do you like for a starter? Do you ever like... Are you a starter person?
Yes, I would have nothing but a giant buffet of starters for every meal of my life.
Like a tapas, right?
That's just tapas, isn't it?
Yeah, happily. Yeah. Tapas, dim sum.
I thought the Spanish, one thing they really nailed.
Do you know what I like?
What?
I like any sort of croquette. You put anything in that croquette, I'll take it.
Basically, any sort of hot cheese, I'm bang into.
Yes, 100%. But I genuinely love starters more than anything in the world.
Well let me tell you, our starter today is full of hot air. And if you put it in the oven, it would just expand in a sort of amorphous mess of post-truth politics. Because there were a couple of things that really got on my wick when I really started looking into it. So it's the Oxford Dictionary's word of 2017, isn't it? In the wake of kind of Brexit and Donald Trump, a lot of people spoke about how kind of grown-up politicians like Boris Johnson or Michael Gove could just basically put, you know, a claim like £350 million extra for the NHS on a bus, knowing full well that A, it's total rubbish, but two, it's very, very effective, because if you tell people these sort of huge things that appeal more to their heart than their head, even if they're not, you know, facts... We'll win it over. But the more I start looking into it, when was there a time when politics was truthful? You know, what do you think about post-truth politics, Jase?
Well, I would agree with you that, like, there's been constant lying with any sort of manifesto claims. You know, I remember, like, a while back, 5 years ago, I was on The Week. Is it The Week or This Week? This Week, The Daily Politics.
All right, there we go. All right, sure. Jesus.
Yeah, 5 years ago as well. They've never had me back. But I did it, and I was with... I think it was Harriet Harman was on it.
Harriet Harperson.
Very good. Very nice. Thanks. I remember I was talking about the Lib Dems. Do you remember the Lib Dems signed all those cards saying, I pledge I won't raise tuition fees? And then they had their photos taken holding the giant cards with the signature saying, I pledge I won't raise tuition fees. And we were all backstage in the green room. And I said something like, well, the thing is, you know, people aren't going to forget and they aren't going to forgive the fact that they've been betrayed like this. And she went, nobody believes something like that. Like, of course they're going to backtrack on that. But and I was like, no, you don't understand. Of course young people believe that, because somebody, like, if somebody explicitly signs a pledge card and then has their photograph taken next to that pledge card, like, people will read that as meaning something.
Because I felt like the Lib Dems were treated pretty badly around that whole thing. Because in a way, okay, fine if you're 18 and you don't really know much about politics, but it's a, like you just said, it's a bit like, what did you expect? When do politicians...
That's not what I said, that's what Harriet Harman
when,
said.
Yeah, when do politicians... Well, maybe she's right. When do politicians ever behave truthfully? When did they really promise something to the electorate that they immediately delivered afterwards?
What?
And, like, look how much we hammered the Lib Dems just because they were...
Just on this Lib Dem
just because they had to be, like, very vaguely pragmatic in politics and once they were in power. And then look where we're at now. If we hadn't got rid of Nick Clegg, he could have been protecting our neck when it comes to Remain right now.
For me, it was always about attacking the Conservatives because those are the people with the full real power.
Yeah, but everyone bullied Nick Clegg so badly. Don't you feel sorry for him at all?
Not really, but I do miss the Lib Dems, and I never thought I really would.
Yeah.
But it suited the Conservatives to have the focus on the Lib Dems, and it suits the way that people on the left respond, where the people on the left can't bear hypocrisy and can't bear letdowns, so they'd rather attack themselves sometimes than attack the other side.
Tim Farron actually signed exactly the same pledge that Nick Clegg did, then refused to vote on the tuition fees.
He wasn't in the cabinet at the time, though, was he? See, he wasn't making... He wasn't making deals for what he could get through and what he couldn't get through. He was on the outskirts. It's very easy for a backbencher to just opt out of something and take the higher ground. It's very hard to do that once you're actually dealing with the, you know, the realities of power.
I don't know about that. I think that ultimately, I mean, this is, I mean, the fact that we're even having this kind of conversation, and I know to an extent you're playing devil's advocate, but we've got to a point where literally anything that anyone says is seen as fatuous by people probably who are probably more left of centre, but people on the right expect and push for, you know, the most ridiculous statements ever to be made that don't seem to have any rationality at all.
And you know what's really dangerous about that? People are talking about the parallels between now and the 1930s and the run-up to, you know, fascism across Europe. And the real big parallel that we should all be terrified is of how disillusioned people are with politicians. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you've got Farages coming in, the fact that you've got Trumps coming in, who are seen as these outsiders, is not really to do with their politics at all. It's to do with everyone's disillusionment with professional politicians, with careerist
it's
politicians.
It's an interesting... have you ever met Nigel Farage?
No, and I don't want to. I'm terrified of the man. Like, I just see him as a fascist. I don't see him as anything else. I don't see him as jolly or funny or anything other than something to be feared.
Do you secretly fancy him, though?
No.
Is he kind of your
right-wing
crush?
He's not hairy, doesn't have a beard. No, I don't... Because he's my right-wing crush. I find it really hard to get beyond the sickening politics, so it's really difficult.
Until you've had a couple of beers.
Who would my right-wing crush? It would be like an adventure-y one, you know?
Clarkson.
No, not Clarkson. I don't mean getting in a fucking car. I mean riding a donkey across the Sahara, that kind of shit. You know how, like, some really posh right-wingers are also Arctic explorers? It'd be one of those.
Oh, I see.
Be like, well, just get it done. Yeah, just get on with it. And I'd be like, fucking like that just get on with it.
Like that de Rothschild chap who, all he does is, like, create ships out of plastic bottles and then sail them to the Arctic and back because he's just got a £50 million trust fund.
Do you know they're not all that bad, though? Like, you've got to think about it. Like, these people, like, I think they're a bit like evil geniuses in the fact that they're completely immoral. I don't believe half the things they say. But a lot of these people say things that people want to hear. And, you know, we were filming years ago, like, in a BNP meeting. And it was unbelievable even then. Like, they'd say all this kind of really right on stuff that sounded kind of old Labour, and then they go, and also we've got to make sure that black people can't have babies with white people, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? But people are just nodding their heads and they're just like, fine.
On Twitter, if you're a bit of a pinko, you know, the amount of kind of, if you talk about Brexit, the amount of kind of really intense fascistic dialogue you get makes me think, like, oh my God, is everyone just secretly a fascist and I didn't realise? And
but, like, there's a lot of this, like, we're assuming a lot here. We're supposed to be talking about post-truth politics, and we've talked only exclusively about the post-truth politics of the right. There was so much on the left, man. I was talking to this about with my friend, and I referenced that meme that was out before Trump got elected where he's sitting there and there's a quote
I'd run for the Republicans.
Yeah, I'd run for the Republicans because that's the only electoral base that actually would believe anything you say because they're so stupid. That's what he said, apparently. And in my head, I thought I'd seen it as an actual clip from a chat show that he'd been on. And I was convinced it was real. And he was like, no, that's just one of the ones from one of those guys in Macedonia that churn out these news stories. That was. Did you believe that?
I definitely did the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
But I created some post-truth by mistake once.
Oh, you've gotten in there. You've just, if you can't beat them, join them.
I didn't mean to. And here's why, right? So,
Josie. No one does.
I was very sad about Corbyn doing badly in the polls because why can't people just like him? It's urgent. Please, please, please. Anyway, so I was very sad about it. And I was thinking, do you know what? Everyone goes on and on about 1983 and they're like, oh, it was so bad, 1983. Let's just have a look at it. So I went on Wikipedia and looked at the vote share and it was pretty low, right? So I was like, I wonder what the votes were like in 2010. And I looked it up, and the vote share the Tories had was less than what Labour had in 1983. So I tweeted it, and I was like, guys, everyone says 1983 was so bad, but let's put this into perspective. You know, things change a lot, and blah, blah, blah. And I tweeted it, and it got retweeted a shitload of times, and then someone said to me, where did you get this information? And I said, just Wikipedia, mate.
Yeah.
Just Wikipedia. And they said, you've read the page wrong. You are looking at 1987. And I was like, oh, yes, I am. That is true. So I deleted it. I deleted it and I said, oh, by the way, that was completely wrong. I'm an idiot. You know, this is why people like me shouldn't be in charge of any sort of broadcasting. Then a week later, I was saying, I'm really sad that the polls are so bad because, you know, I really wish
polls
that
weren't
if we
that
did
bad.
Have, I know.
What are you, Brexit?
Yeah, pre-Brexit. I was like, you know, I just really wish if we were going to have populism, it could be some sort of genuine populism about compassion and humanity and populism of the left, and really sad. And my friend said, listen to me, you don't need to worry because in 1983, those polls. And I was like, I made that up! That's not true!
You created your own bubble.
It was so heartbreaking.
And then you had to then tell them that you made a mistake.
I was like, that sounds great,
yeah,
but I know that's not true because I made that up.
Another conspiracy theory, which was actually tweeted by General Flynn.
General
Flynn. Who's General Flynn?
He's going to be Trump's new chief of staff.
Wow.
And he's mental. And he tweets these conspiracy theories all the time. This is the guy that's supposed to be across all the intelligence that CIA and FBI are bringing in to protect Americans. And
I feel safer.
And he's tweeting this absolute rubbish. And one of the things was Pizzagate, where a bunch of nutters had found some stuff in some of the Clinton emails, and they'd pieced together this ridiculous theory that Clinton was meeting up at a pizza shop in DC to have child sex orgies.
And
this poor guy, all these lunatics showed up outside his pizza restaurant with placards. And his family and friends were trying to come into the pizza restaurant and they were like haranguing him. And they sent an email to the Washington PD and they said, like, can you please investigate this restaurant? Have you even looked downstairs in the basement to check? And they responded by saying, we would have done, but there is no basement.
I remember you did a campaign about trying to stop lying in Parliament.
Yeah, make lying history.
What happened with that?
In some ways, I think it seems more relevant than ever. Mind you, one of our main proponents of the campaign was Zach Goldsmith.
Do you know what's funny, though? He's the only bigot in the whole of 2016 to lose an election. It's incredible. And not just to lose one, but to lose two.
So for the main course, guys, I've got a nice fat Trump steak, which I thought I'd cook medium rare. Does that sound good? Yeah?
Is that what
I'd like it rare.
Rare. Okay, fine.
I would like to see blood.
Yeah. He's person of the year this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Joyce?
I mean, I'm not thrilled. I'm not thrilled at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
who would you have gone for, Farage or Trump, if you had to choose as person of the year?
Why am I voting for this?
Well,
time asked me.
Yeah, if time asked you.
If
you're the only judge, if they're like, Josie Long, will you be the only judge this year for person of the year? And you said, oh, I'm quite busy, but okay, fine.
Yeah. And then they said, you've got two choices.
You've got two choices.
I'd be like, if I'm the only judge and you're only giving me these two choices, this isn't judging. This is like when I was in first year of primary school and they said I could be the editor of a newspaper and everyone in the class had to make an article for the newspaper. And one of the boys wrote an article and it was a picture of a woman and a horse laughing. And he wrote, the woman and the horse are laughing. And I thought, that's bullshit. That's not going in the newspaper. So I hid it. And then the teacher was like, no, you just put them all in the book. You don't get to decide what goes in there. And I was like, I'm not an editor then, am I? Here's the thing. Can I write a glittery op-ed about how fashionable all the new Nazis are? Because that is so on trend. That's what everyone's doing these days.
Alt-right fashion expose on.
Everyone who does that needs to know that it will never be forgotten. and needs to know in the next 10 years, if things get worse, that they will always, always have been a part of it. Mm. And they need that to haunt them so they can't sleep at night. I have no power but to curse them. It will never be forgotten. And I curse them with all of my heart.
But it's really okay because they might be fascist, but they had gay boyfriends and some of them were black, so they can't be that bad. Isn't that the defence that that guy puts out, like,
Milo
Yiannopoulos?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like incredible.
What is he up to? What is he up to?
Well, the thing is he's not... I think he might have actually been a creation of the left as much as anything else, because no one cared about that guy.
Mm. It's like Alex Jones. John Ronson was the person who... John Ronson did a talk quite recently. It was really funny where he said, I'm the Simon Cowell who found Alex Jones. And like, but this is what's been scaring me recently.
Well, the guy that created Donald Trump, you know, for the American Apprentice, was slammed at TV awards recently because he basically made the guy.
Yep.
You know.
Well, they say that about Have I Got News For You, don't they?
And Boris Johnson. Yeah, and
you
it's
know,
true.
These TV platforms really do give people.
I've never been a conservative, and yet until before he was the mayor, I had a positive opinion of Boris Johnson because of Have I Got News For You.
How cute and floppy he was.
Because he was fun.
Yeah.
And he's fun. He's a mendacious individual.
One of those landed, foppish dudes who travels around the world that you told us earlier that you fancied.
He wasn't, because he is the least hardy person in the world and he has no sinew about him.
No, he has got a lot of fat to burn if he's in the Arctic. I think he could survive longer
if
than most.
If he's not done it though, has he?
Yeah, but he would do.
He's never
left
had frostbite.
He'd survive twice as long as any of us. Can I run a couple of things by you guys?
Tell
me what
do.
You think. Okay, this is my main course, so I'm just going to sort of lead you through the various tastes and flavours. I'd like to posit, and I'd like you to give your opinion on this. Do you think Trump is as bad as everyone's saying he's going to be? Is there a bit of hyperbole on the left? Do you think we're kind of making a bit of a meal, again using the metaphor, out of this? Do you think something's going to be quite good? He's going to drain the swamp.
He obviously
hasn't.
He's
going to drain the swamp. He's already saying...
Look at the people he's appointed. You're just being silly.
He is going, and I know the other person that made the trains run on time was Hitler, but he is going to invest a lot in infrastructure. Roads, trains, that can't be a bad thing.
I don't know. And I think a lot of us who are speculating about it, who aren't Americans, are suffering from the fact that we don't fully appreciate or understand all the different mechanisms of government in the States.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much is he going to try and behave as if he's above the House and the Senate and, you know, the checks and balances? Like, already he's refusing intelligence briefings and stuff like that. Like, we don't...
I don't need any more intelligence.
I have a very good brain.
I've got a very small brain. Do you think he drinks? Because, you know, he always does these tweets late at night. He does these kind of, like... Yeah. A series of five or six rapidly angry tweets late at night. Like,
I think he's just on a train.
Of a drinker, isn't it?
No, when I'm on a train, I go crazy.
You just go crazy.
I'm like, please, I have no friends.
I think he's got like a midnight roid rage, kind of like, you know, treadmill addiction or something. I can see him like on a treadmill on his like 94th tower, you know, doing some protein bars and kind of doing those weird smelly protein farts.
He's in terrible shape.
Yeah, but awful shape. Also, have you seen how bad his suits are? Oh. Did you see that piece on it, like a sort of, you know, fashion piece on Trump's suits? He's supposed to be one of the richest guy, billionaire, right? He wears terrible suits. They're crumpled everywhere. They're like ill-fitting. They're like, you know, they're
Very nice suits. They're the greatest suits. I've got the greatest suits.
But I genuinely have no idea. And I feel like in the past when I speculated about things or when I wrote fictitious stuff that was kind of a bit dystopian or apocalyptic, I now see how much safety I was in when I wrote it and how much actually writing it was an exercise in my safety. Whereas now I'm just like,
I don't know,
and I wish I knew. And I wish I had somebody that I trusted who could give me a handle on it. You know, I don't think it's wise ever to think catastrophically, and I don't think it's wise to think apocalyptically. And I think that whatever's happening with Trump, there is a scenario where he is very quickly impeached or where he simply cannot behave in a manner that's destructive for the country. I was watching an inauguration speech on election night, which was from a senator in California called Kamala Harris. And it was so impassioned and beautiful. And I was like, obviously having a good cry. But she was talking about kind of upholding idealism and values and progressive values. And it did put into perspective that for all of the bad, there are plenty of people in positions of relative power, like Bill de Blasio, the New York City mayor, like, who are openly and very explicitly challenging him. and will continue to do so. Like, I think a good thing to remember if you're on the Lift and you feel like, oh, we're losing, is you're not alone, and there will always be people mounting campaigns and trying.
You're saying that you think the apocalypse is more likely, but perhaps not as likely as everyone is saying.
Ha!
Is that what you're saying?
I would say, even if the apocalypse is definitely round the corner, what good does it do us to despair?
How do you think you'd fare in the apocalypse,
Great.
Josie?
Great. And I know for a fact.
Yeah,
do you want to know why?
Yeah, why?
Because I did a Bear Grylls Celebrity Island TV show where we starved for 2 weeks.
You've got the skills.
Let me tell you something for free.
My mate told me you were on that. I didn't believe them. I swear. I was
like, you can believe it.
Josie's on the island?
I know.
Can you start a fire with a stick?
Yes.
Shit.
Also, here's another thing. If you have fat around the middle, as I perpetually do, you will survive and thrive in a terrible situation. Because this fat around the middle is the best kind of food for you when you're starving, right? So it doesn't matter. There was a beautiful, beautiful model on that island who was such a kind man, the strongest man on the island.
Yeah.
He had 3% body fat and he couldn't bear
it
because his body ate itself.
What a pussy.
My body, every morning I'd wake up and be like, another sweet dish in my own fat reserves. And also, women were the strongest ones because we had better stamina on there.
Yeah, they do.
Strong thigh muscles.
Yeah.
Guys, not only would
that's
it survive,
why I don't have 3% fat. I'm just preparing for the apocalypse. I prepare a lot for the apocalypse. I think about it a lot.
Here's
and
what
I've got a theory. I think
trainers and a backpack.
Trainers and a backpack,
mm-hmm.
yeah. You need. I got my eyes lasered recently, so I've got 20/20 now, which means I'm set. I don't
Amazing.
Need to worry about contacts.
Very good.
Yeah, I've got the route planned over my roofs to the local corner shop that'll be able to break in through the skylight to get down and get fresh fruit and veg and tin food for a while.
Nice.
It'll last me about 3 or 4 weeks.
Water, that's your main concern.
Water's your main concern, it's true.
You think it's food, it's not, it's water.
I've got a theory about Joyce, that if the apocalypse happened, she'd very quickly become a cannibalistic warlord. Of a swathe of Canterbury.
I get too upset by people who are cruel. That's what I also learned. There was somebody on there who was quite mean and it hurt me for weeks.
Yeah.
Here's what I also think. Quite often I think about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And it's a privileged fantasy. And it's privileged for all of us to be sat around here talking about apocalypse.
Some people in Syria actually do live in an apocalypse.
Well, exactly. And
so
like,
they don't write TV shows about it.
Yes,
they just live it
that's
day.
What I think about. And I think, are they supposed to be precautionary fantasies that that tell people in places where they're lucky to be safe, look, you're lucky to be safe, or are they just people sitting around going, can you imagine how bad it'd be? But here's what I love about you guys is you can do something that I can't, which is you can emotionally detach for the purposes of truth and justice. So what you can do is pretend to be characters that would be objectionable in order to make something that persuades people
not
and that changes people's minds, right? Whereas I can't do it because I am this, you know, hand-wringing, pinko, desperately earnest idiot. And so I try really hard. So this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I feel particularly frustrated with things like The Sun and The Mail and The Express because they're so full of hate and I find it so hard to counter them because I don't want these things to outlive me and I don't want these things to have the influence they do. But so I'm thinking, what can I do? I can't firebomb the offices because that makes me worse than them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't use acts of violence in this day and age. We're not like in the 70s with the Angry Brigade. It's not how it works, right? And I wouldn't want to because I'm a pacifist and I'm a sweetheart. But this is what I want to do. I want to get together druids, Wiccans, representatives.
Wiccans?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like a druid or is that?
Wizards and witches,
wizard.
My friend.
Amazing. Game of Thrones styles.
I want to get together people of all religious persuasions to perform rituals to either curse, endanger, or simply to just cleanse all of the bad spirits out of those places.
When you
I
say
do
endanger,
it all on the same day.
Are you talking about endangering the journalists and editors that work? Are you going that far?
Well, the brand.
Would you like the editor to perhaps like cut his finger on a paper cut? Or would you like how far are we going to go? Does he like...
I think this is all about spiritual.
Get really bad gas...
I
when
think
he
they
goes
all change
on a date.
Their minds and they abandon the sinking ship.
Yeah, but if it's a curse, if you're cursing them, you have to have something mean to wish. That's how, I don't know if you know how curses work, but you need to have something really mean to wish on the people that work there. I'm just wondering how far you're prepared to go for your cause, Josie, how serious you are.
Curse wise.
Staple clip in fingernail?
What I wish is for their eternal failure and degradation
as
an organisation.
As an organisation.
Mm-hmm. I like it. How you've kept it
bankruptcy,
on the brand.
Tragedy.
From the people. What did you think of the whole a campaign I became aware of quite recently, the Stop Funding Hate campaign?
Love it.
Did you see that?
Absolutely love it. And I think anything like that... Like,
what is it for people at home who maybe haven't heard
of it? I'm sorry. Stop Funding Hate is about the fact that, you know, our Daily Mail has had some absolutely, to my mind, unforgivable reporting recently that has been nothing short of fascistic, and I'm sorry to keep using the term, but it's apt. And what they're doing is they're appealing to the advertisers in the mail and saying, please, do you really want your advertising to go alongside these things? Same with The Sun, you know, where Katie Hopkins wrote that thing saying, I would send gunships to kill refugees.
The vermin, she called them.
Yeah. And oh, show me the bodies of people and I won't care. That's what she said.
And has it been successful?
Well, I think it's been marginally successful.
Well, Gary Lineker tweeted it, didn't he?
I love Gary whoever's Lineker doing Gary Lineker's social media these days.
He's doing it.
I think
he's
Gary Lineker
so
is.
Listen,
as an old Spurs fan who watched Gary Lineker for years and years and knew he was going to be rise to possibly statesman-like levels.
Of Che Guevara proportions.
This is a man who never got a yellow card.
Okay, look at him now.
This is a man who's only got one goal less than Bobby Charlton and then missed a chip penalty against Brazil on purpose.
Good knowledge.
Probably just to give Bobby... You know, the accolades that he deserves.
What a guy.
I tweeted at him saying he was a legend and he tweeted, retweeted it. Made me feel really happy.
Stop funding hate.
Yeah.
Now, in the 1940s, Lord Rothermere, who owned, or his, I guess his granddad, with the Daily Mail, he was privately supporting Hitler until the mid-1940s.
Wow.
Mid-1940s. And the paper supported the black shirts. Mm. And the reason that it stopped being so pro-British fascism was because the advertisers lost faith in it. So it's always been about money. Like, so I think it is useful for some people to appeal to the money side of it, because I do think that that is a way to take some of the power away from
Lego, I believe. Wasn't Lego the first one I read that had managed to actually distance themselves from the Daily Mail?
Yeah, it's funny because now it's like New Balance came out in support of Trump. So now when I see New Balance trainers, I'm like, fascist trainers.
New Balance?
Yeah, whereas Lego went off the mail, so I'm like, Lego.
What trainers can you even buy now without being like... Terrible.
Toms?
Nikes? Probably
Toms,
not.
Toms are good.
Reeboks? Bad.
Clarks?
These have got a polar bear on them.
Basically, we should just all be wearing Birkenstocks all year round. And thanks to global warming, we now can. So each week on our podcast, we're going to have a nice, sumptuous, sweet dessert, something to cleanse the palate and give us some fun with it. And we thought, Josie, as you are here with us today, we should give you a beautiful alpha male of dessert in the form of Justin Trudeau.
I know that people of Canada are bitterly disappointed with him, but what I'd like to say is, firstly, have you seen the photo of him holding two baby pandas?
It's so cute, right?
It's incredible. He's laughing.
He's
and
so cute.
He looks
cute.
So happy. Secondly, yes, you're bitterly disappointed with him, and I'm sure rightfully so. But considering the world stage right now, bitter disappointment I yearn for.
Can I just say, this is all news to me. Since when were the Canadians bitterly disappointed with that absolutely beautiful, angelic, fantastic-haired Justin Trudeau?
Adorable man, hunk.
Where is this news that I'm not reading? Is this the post-truth world?
I think on the extreme left, people don't think he's left enough, and on the right, people hate him for not being right enough.
Yeah.
That's a tricky thing.
He is so right on.
Far for the cause. Yeah.
He's brought in over 25,000 Syrian refugees, is that right?
Yeah, and he did a video the other day where he cried.
Did he?
Yeah, he brought in a whole family, which was quite emotional, to be fair. But I think he's super fake. I think, like, there can't be a guy that does that much good without having a lot of skeletons in his closet. Every issue, he's always so super right on, Justin Trudeau. There's not a single thing he's not right on about. He went to the Gay Pride March, and he didn't even just go to the Gay Pride March and sort of, you know, represent. He sort of danced around and, like, he cries when, you know, refugees come over. There's pictures of him hugging pandas.
Hayden, what do you want? You're getting everything you want.
I think he's a psychopath.
You're getting everything you
because
want.
Because he's actually got
angry.
Joy.
I bet you for your birthday, this is what happened. For your birthday, you say to your wife in the future, when you have a wife, you say to her, oh darling, do you know what I'd really love a beautiful blender for the kitchen because I love to cook. And she'll say, which one do you want? You say, I want a duck egg Moulinex blender. Oh, do you really? Yeah, I want a duck egg Moulinex blender. And do you know what else I want? I want a season ticket to my terrible football club that I love. Right? And then she'll give you them and you'll go, what is wrong with you? Why have you got me exactly what I want? You're having an affair, I'm leaving you. That's what happened, because you can't cope.
It's so true.
There's a huge hole in that story. I would never ask for a season ticket. No, but my problem with Trudeau...
Unbelievable.
This is not true, because I liked Obama. There was no point at which I didn't like Obama. Like,
what about
even
drone
though
strikes?
You're a massive, rabid pinko like you, lot still liked Obama. We all still liked him, even though he bombed a bunch of people with his Reapers in Pakistan and Afghanistan. He didn't quite manage to shut down Guantanamo Bay, but overall, he was a kind of good guy. Yes or no?
I mean, you're being quite glib.
You liked him.
You're glib. What I would
say... You liked him.
Yeah, I think given the amount of destruction of life that presidents of the United States of America are capable of...
You liked him.
And given what a wonderful statesman he was...
You really liked
on
him.
On balance, I think he was a very good president.
There you go.
But that is not
you
withholding...
I think that's badgering the witness. But I mean, just a little note.
I agree with that, you see. I love Obama and also, still, and I think he was the best thing that happened to America in you know, probably, you know, half a century. But Trudeau... I feel like he's trying too hard.
Obama he legalised weed and brought in 25,000...
So did Obama! In various states. So what? And Obama was cool while he did it. Trudeau was just like trying too hard. It's like,
what?
The thing about him, this is my point, it's like when he went to the gay pride...
Do you fancy him?
Maybe that's actually about. Yeah, I don't know.
And you're jealous of his hair.
Maybe I'm jealous of his hair.
So basically what you're saying actually is, I'm jealous of Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
I despise his brilliance. I wish I'd let in 25,000 Syrian refugees, and if I'd legalised, we'd have been a national hero.
But what do you want? What would be your dream candidate?
Just Obama. He already had it.
He was a really it's a very
but
tricky
come
thing.
On.
I think.
I want to know what you think of him. Tell me what. Do you think he's a nice guy? Would you kick him out of bed for farting? Or?
I think he's very cute. And I would give him a kiss if he'd like it.
I can't believe you just sexualised him there, JC.
I know,
he's
it's
just
awful.
The man.
No, I mean, it's very difficult when some world leaders are dishy.
Mm.
And I am very grateful for the fact that he is not a real bad guy.
Yeah.
If he was a real bad guy and he was that
What about
dishy?
His fracking? You're overlooking the fracking just because you'd like to frack him, essentially.
I didn't That's know about the fracking. What's
he
doing?
Oh, he's a big fracker.
No.
Fracking against fracking could be a thing.
He does he's all into
come on, though.
Tar
he's done
sands
so many good...
and fracking.
Have
and
you
all
ever
that
seen
kind of
him?
Stuff.
I was watching, when we were doing some research for this earlier, I was watching, there was a John Oliver clip from 2015 where, because you know Trudeau's father was actually the president as well, so he's kind of part of a Canadian political
Not a
dynasty.
Fan of dynasties.
Well, Trudeau basically, so all his life, he was being photographed and papped and stuff, and he went through terrible stages. He went through a whole NSYNC stage, he had frosted tips.
Oh my God, this is proving my point.
But
this is all playing into
one
my
of
point.
The, genuinely one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. There's a clip of him, and I'd recommend people look this up online, of him showing a journalist his party trick, and his party trick was rolling down the stairs.
That's a pretty good
As if he'd
trick.
Been pushed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he just literally goes up. He's speaking French. Oh, yes, no problem. Yeah. And then and then he just goes. And he's just rolling down the stairs.
See, that's mental. That is a mental thing to do.
Sounds like something you would do, Hayden.
If you had a friend who did that, you would think that they were mental.
Hey, you've done stuff like that, though, haven't you?
No, not at all. Not in any way. Would I pretend to fall downstairs so people thought I'd hurt myself?
Or just thrown yourself downstairs at parties?
No, definitely not something I would...
I've seen you coat surfing down at parties. I've seen you get coats
No, what you're saying is that... This is a different point. What you're saying is that he threw himself downstairs to make people think he was hurt. That is a mental thing to do. It's like in the John Ronson book where the guy, you know, pretends he's mad so he can get out of prison and get into a, you know... like
Broadmoor,
a,
but
get,
the idea that you would do that
The idea that you'd pretend you're mad makes you more mad than you actually are from pretending to be mad, and then you're inside forever. That's Trudeau.
Did you see the video of him and his wife singing...
No. What
like as
singing?
If they did a duet to tell people about their policy platform. I have to say, it's genuinely one of the weirdest things.
Can I just say, everything you say, Johnny, and you're like arguing against it, but everything you say proves my point.
But have you been to Canada? That's okay there.
I think
it's fine. This isn't like London or America. Canada, did you know Canada has 2/3 of the world's fresh water?
Wow,
so that's why they're all good. They can sing. They can just fall downstairs at parties. It's totally fine if you're Canadian.
Because they've got loads of water.
Yeah, bud.
Well,
I don't. Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Fine. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
It's because they're a happy. Got anything coming up you want to share with our listeners? Anything coming up that you want to tell people about?
I'm doing a national tour, which is about hand wringing and wrangling after Brexit.
What's it called?
It's called Something Better.
And where can people get tickets for this Something Better?
The internet.
The internet, which we have discovered is an actual thing.
Yeah. JoseLong.com. But please do come. I'm doing a tour all over the UK and also to Australia. And then after that, I expect I'll be straight on the gravy train to Hollywood, you know,
Fantastic.
Cashing in.
Thank you so much for being our inaugural guest.
It's very much chosen.
I'm proud to be here. I'm sorry to be
Thanks
shouting
for
at you guys so earnestly.
And hope you join us next time on the podcast.
Yeah.